Good evening. Merry Christmas. I'm getting serious now. We're getting the pulpit out. We're going for it tonight, folks. Hey, we're so grateful for you, and we're grateful that you're joining us tonight as we reflect on the goodness of God and His grace and the birth of Jesus. I want to say a special thank you to those of you who've been praying for my mom. She's doing much better. She tried to escape the hospital tonight, so that's a good sign that she's progressing and that I did not fall far from the tree. And so thank you for your prayers for her. We definitely appreciated it. About 8 years ago, across the street, there was a house that I used to live in. It was a college ministry house, and I was in charge of a college ministry at Ashland University called The Well. And back then, the Lord had not blessed us with kids and a family, which is to say my life was simple and joyful. And I didn't fix things that were not necessary, like because there was no need to do that. So when the interior lights went out on my Nissan Pathfinder, I was like, well, this is just a feature now. Like, I don't need to fix this. And I took to a little weird ritual that every time I would get into my dark car, I would say, hello, darkness, my old friend. And one night, the other thing that I did was I just left the keys in the ignition because this was a jalopy car. That wasn't the only thing broken with it, trust me. And I thought, if anyone wants it, they can have it, really. And the darkness is kind of a cloaking feature. So one night I came out of 710 after a ministry meeting, and I jumped in my Pathfinder, and I said, hello, darkness, my old friend. And I reached for the keys, and they weren't there. I thought, now what is going on? So I got out of my car and shut the door, and then it locked. And then three college students popped out of a bush, and they started pelting me with snowballs. Tonight, we're talking about fearing the dark. And the reason that we are naturally, understandably afraid of the dark is because all kinds of stuff can hide in it. Things can jump out and get us in the dark. We're not sure what our surroundings are. We're not sure what's going on. I'm going to read tonight from the book of Isaiah that talks about the light of Christ that we celebrate on Christmas Day and how it pushes against the darkness. I'm going to begin actually before the passage that you probably know, which is Isaiah chapter 9. I'm going to start a few verses before in Isaiah chapter 8, just to give a little context to the rest of the message. Isaiah chapter 8, yeah, whatever you want to do, I guess. Verses 19 through 22. When men tell you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak, if they don't speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. Where they are famished, they will become enraged and look upward, will curse their king and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. Wow. On April 5th, 1815, who remembers it? Lois? No. Mount Tambora erupted. Of course, Mount Tambora. Off the island of Sumbawa, which is present-day Indonesia. This was a catastrophic volcanic eruption. Geologists have a scale called the Volcanic Explosivity Index. It's a scale of 0 to 8. Mount Tambora's eruption was a number 7, which is categorized as a super colossal eruption, one of the top 10 eruptions in the history of our planet. The initial explosion eruption could be heard almost 250 miles away, and it spread tons of ash and soot into Have you could tell they haven't been to church in a while? Into the atmosphere. 100,000 folks perished in the immediate aftermath, but countless more would pass away in the following months of years because the ash and the soot that came from this incredibly colossal volcanic eruption blocked out the sun. And in fact, the earth underwent a small climate change. And historians talk about the year following 1816 as the year without a summer. Crops wouldn't grow. People starved. The cold temperatures allowed a mutation of the cholera virus to mutate, and millions passed away. This is the image that Isaiah is giving us in chapter 8 leading up to chapter 9. People are stumbling around in darkness. They are hungry. They don't know where their next meal is coming from. They are without hope, and they are in a dark gloom. And then this proclamation in Isaiah chapter 9. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. And then these famous words, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Of those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest and as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. If you attempted to see the alignment of Jupiter and Saturn a few nights ago, what did you see? Nothing. It was bright. It was pretty. You could see it with your naked eye. Unless what? There was something in between you and the light. When darkness covers the earth, when soot and ash and clouds obscure, it doesn't matter how bright the light shines. It doesn't penetrate the darkness. And that's why Christ had to come. Our whole world was enshrouded. Our hearts were covered and hidden in darkness. It wasn't okay for the law of God to shine outside of us. He had to penetrate. The light had to come close so we could see. I love this language of people rejoicing at the harvest and celebrating as if dividing plunder. That's what Christmas morning is all about, if I'm not mistaken. Right? We celebrate with food and amazing exchanging of gifts. It's an explosive, joyful celebration. Why? Because we were covered in gloom with haunted eyes stumbling around, hungry, confused, and angry, and now the light has come. One of my great indulgences in 2020 has been the show that I've spoken to you about before, Alone. Alone. Reality TV show in which contestants are dropped off in the wilderness in isolation to see how long they can survive without tapping out. The winner wins a cool $500,000. They're motivated. They're talented. These people are experts in survival. They studied and sometimes lived out in the wilderness their entire lives. And it's very hard. And the best part of every season is always when they come and let the winner know that they have won. Because at this point, these people are completely gone. They've been exhausted. They're hungry. They've been starving. They're frustrated. They're lonely. And as the camera is talking to them and they think they're going through a health and safety inspection, their spouse or significant other comes from behind them and taps them on the shoulder. I know everyone thinks of me as very, very macho. But I will admit to this select few group of people that I cry every time that they are basically rescued because the relief is palpable. They're almost hysterical with joy because they're no longer starving. They're no longer alone. In fact, one season winner, after hugging his wife and sobbing, took her by the shoulders and said, "Do you have food?" And when she said, "What?" he looked at the cameraman and said, "Do you have food?" The light has come. It's cause for rejoicing. Isaiah continues, "For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, for fuel, for the fire." This is an incredibly important reference, the Midian's defeat, of how God selected Gideon, the one who was hiding, and chose 300 men to go up an army of tens and thousands. And what happened? They were victorious because the Lord accomplished something that only God could do. As Isaiah talks about this light that's coming, he wants us to know that it's going to come like the defeat of Midian. It's not going to come in force. It's not going to come in great numbers and with heavenly spotlights and with great conflicts of power. No, this is going to be a surprise victory from humble circumstances. This is going to be a miracle that only God could accomplish. Isaiah continues, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." We celebrate on Christmas Eve light piercing the darkness. And at its coming, we have this joyful, desperate celebration that we're no longer famished and wandering and hurting and afflicted, that the bonds of the oppressor are taken off. In fact, he mentions this language of boots that have been used in warfare and cloaks that have been rolled in blood. Basically, Isaiah is saying, now all the trappings of war, the only thing they're good for is firewood. Because this light has come to establish a government of peace and joy and hope and love. If you find antiques that have no use anymore in the modern day, What are they good for? They're maybe a curiosity that you hang on the wall. Or maybe all they're good for is to be thrown into the fire. That's what Isaiah says of these garments of war. Because this light is coming, the yoke of oppression is broken, and instead we are cloaked with a robe of righteousness and honor. We celebrate the light coming in what was a very gloomy year, in what was a year that felt like it was full of darkness, in a year that we are still not back to normal, and this typical service, which is normally full to overflowing, and we have to have multiple services, instead it's looking different this year. We're still awaiting the already, and tonight we confess and celebrate that even in this shrouded, dark, strange, and difficult time, the light of the world has come. It is a cause of rejoicing. It is a cause of everlasting peace. And it is made possible through the birth of Jesus, in the little town of Bethlehem with no grand audience, but the world's joy and salvation at stake. So tonight, we are going to celebrate, and we're going to celebrate like we always do, by singing Silent Night and participating in a candlelight service. So as the band comes up, they're going to sing Silent Night. We're going to join in them. I'm going to come and grab a candle from the Christ candle, which it may have gone out, but in real life, the candle of Christ never goes out. Don't worry. That's not a theological thing. And if you have a little one, we have provided you with a little tiny like LED flip-on candle so they can participate. At home, find something to burn. If your children have been misbehaving, threaten to take a present. I don't know. But let's celebrate that we're not under a canopy of ash and soot and death and darkness any longer, obscuring the light of God. No, he has come to us to shine into the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Can we stand? Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heaven.
So receive this benediction this evening. No matter what darkness you may find yourself walking through, no matter how thick and difficult it seems to be every day to take one more step and put it in front of the other, today we celebrate that the light has pierced the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Even though the clouds could obscure our sight from the celestial lights, Jesus, the light of the world, has come to us. So we bless you this night with the recognition that his love and peace and justice are a light that will never fade. They will shine from today into all eternity. We bless you in Jesus' name with joy and hope and peace and love. Merry Christmas. Amen. All right, church, we love you dearly. As you leave tonight, we are praying for you that you will have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas tomorrow with those near and dear to you. We'll invite you to calmly, simply blow out your candles and deposit them on your way out. And we are going to send you out with a song of celebration. We love you. We're grateful for you. Go in peace, and we'll see you soon.